Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we're talking about protecting our children in many different ways. And I'll tell you what, ladies, we don't want to have the mentality that we have to keep our kids in a bubble wrap, a suit. I sometimes wish I could do that with my daughter, especially when she was learning to drive. But no, what we need to do is make sure that they are well-equipped in an age-appropriate way. And so, ladies, we're going to talk about that a little bit today as we go into God's Word. We take some time and we talk about some of the issues that women deal with. And I'll tell you what, Nancy, what a great opportunity to be able to coach other women in a Titus 2 way, you know, with the more mature women in the faith. Helping out those women who have questions, maybe they're just starting out. And so we do that here. But you know, sometimes we all need help. Sometimes even those of us who consider ourselves mature in the faith, we need some extra help from seasoned Christian women who've been there and done that.
And it's amazing because sometimes the reason is we are just totally taken off guard by how depraved society is and how much they seem to want to cram that down our kids' throats to tell them that the sexual immorality that they want to claim is so normal is something that they should do. And conversely, the purity that we teach our kids to seek is freakish. It's something that will not only be unattainable and impractical, but also will make them be total freaks out there in society.
Yeah, and they think it's unattainable, but you know what? Guess what helps us do it? God's grace. God's grace helps us attain that holiness that we could never do on our own. So when we think about the law, we think about the Ten Commandments, ladies, none of us can keep them perfectly, can we? I mean, it's all grace. It's all God who can teach us and train us and equip us to begin to even understand what holiness is. Unfortunately, Nancy, the world that we live in now is a lot different than the one that I was raised in. And I'll date myself in the 80s. And yeah, I know that things were kind of bleak, you know, then as far as, you know, influences on kids' minds and things. But boy, I feel like we're in new territory now. Things that with technology, with people's worldly agendas that we never as parents had to face in prior generations.
No. And when you and I were in school, I believe the majority of the population still went to church on Sunday. And not only that, but there was Sunday school. And in Sunday school, kids were taught. Now, that wasn't always perfect. I've shared my experience many times of when we moved to Missouri. We started going to a Southern Baptist church, and the Sunday school class there consisted of a clique of girls who had been together since early, early childhood. And we were about 11, 12 at the time, and they did not like having me around. So they certainly made my life miserable at high school. And finally, when I was 16, they made it perfectly clear they did not want me around anymore. Well, obviously, I didn't want to go to Sunday school anymore after that. So, you know, it's never really perfect because you have human beings involved. But if you have a situation where you have at least some instruction going on, and I wouldn't trust necessarily the youth pastor to do it, too. You need to take that responsibility in your home.
Well, right, Nancy. We can't abscond our responsibilities to anybody else, even our youth pastors, our teachers, anything like that, because you don't know. And it's safer for parents to understand that there is a world out there with an agenda, especially in schools. Now, we've talked about this before. There is a leftist movement to capture the next generation, and we really need to make sure that we are protecting our children. And I'm not talking again about protecting them from all the evils of the world, because we never can. But we need to understand, first of all, you know, are my children mature enough to learn from being exposed to the negative influence? Can we help them understand? And yes, the answer is yes, we need to. And then is there an opportunity for a positive influence to outweigh the opportunity for negative. And so these are some things, you know, that it needs to be age appropriate, but understand that the agenda that's out there doesn't care about age appropriate. They go right for the youngest ones.
I've paraphrased many times from a book that I couldn't find. Well, I finally found it in my stack here in the office. And it's called When a Nation Forgets God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. And it's by Erwin Lutzer, Lutzer. And he has a chapter in there called Propaganda Can Change a Nation. And what happened was this group of homosexuals intentionally used Hitler's method of propaganda from Mein Kampf to formulate their approach. In fact, Eric Pollard, who was the founder of ACT UP, a militant homosexual group, openly admitted that Hitler's Mein Kampf was the model that he used for the group's strategy. That's on page 82 of Erwin Lutzer's book. And then that actually is footnoted to Janet Folger, who is the author of an article, The Criminalization of Christianity. That's from 2005. So you have documentation that they are actually using these methods. And Eric Pollard, he actually quoted from Mein Kampf, "The magnitude of a lie always contains a certain factor of credibility, since the great masses of the people in the very bottom of their hearts tend to be corrupted rather than consciously and purposely evil, and that therefore, in view of the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more easily fall a victim to a big lie than to a little one, since they themselves lie in little things, but would be ashamed of lies that were too big."
You know, Nancy, it kind of brings up the point that sometimes you need to protect kids from the adults in the room, the ones who are making the rules. Case in point, we know that there are changes going on in federal HIPAA laws, in other words, the privacy laws that protect our medical information. But when we combine our parental rights, which, by the way, I really do believe that our parental rights are being taken away, as, of course, we all know the government really owns our children and not us. I'll tell you what, I'm just being snarky. But it's very, very true. And, you know, we need to prepare our kids by not allowing certain authoritative rules of the land to be foisting the way the world operates and that way of thinking.
Yeah, just ask the Pelletiers, I believe they are, over in Massachusetts, who totally lost custody of their daughter, Justina, who was being treated for a particular disease by the medical team at Tufts University Medical Center. And I don't know why, but she had gotten the flu one weekend, so they took her to the emergency room of Children's Hospital, and they didn't disagreed with the medical diagnosis of Tufts University Medical Center and actually took custody of her away from her parents. And she's been separated from them for over a year, maybe more.
And I think that, thankfully, I think that the lawyers in her behalf are beginning to make some changes, make some headway there. But yeah, that's been such a shocking thing. A lot of people have been praying for this girl. And yeah, I have to tell you, Nancy, I think it's a wave of things to come.
Yeah. And all because the doctors and nurses there thought they thought better than the parents did.
Ladies, nobody knows better than the mom what your child needs, what your child is aware of and is capable of. You know, each child is different. Each child matures at a different rate, and they each process information in a different way. And we know our children very well. And I believe that a time is coming when we need to stand up a little bit more firmly, perhaps because of some new rules coming. And let's pay attention to the ones that are already on the books that are evolving and changing, if you will. But the hope that we have in Christ, it needs to come from the home. And we need to make sure that our children are well equipped by wanting to know how to please God, wanting to know what that means to be sanctified and walk in holiness.
And knowledge of His Word, too.
Yes.
There's a reason why 80% of Christian kids fall away when they go to colleges, especially public schools. But you know what? That doesn't matter either. Right now, even Bible colleges are teaching things that are not in Scripture and can cause people to question their faith.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that we do this program, ladies. We need to make sure that we ourselves are well-versed in the Word, what it says, God's nature, His character, His love for us, the hope we have in Christ, and the forgiveness of sins. And we are so thankful that we, as Christian women, can have that full pardon and be able to share that hope that we have in Christ with a world that's growing increasingly dark. And ladies, have hope. Hold on to that and never let it go, and train it to your children.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin. Okay, ladies, we're going to get into Lesson 14, Test 10, and we will be in 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. I've entitled this lesson, Do You Experience Answered Prayers? And again, this might be one of those tests that we can view as a positive rather than a negative element. We've kind of been going back and forth with positive and negative tests to see if we're in the faith. And so this one is going to be a positive test. If we're seeing answers to prayers, that will mean that we belong to Him. Let me go ahead and read the verses for us. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. We know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. And again, we see more repetition of words in this section. That's kind of how John's style of writing is. He does a lot of repetition of similar words and then likes to bounce those off one another with doing the positive and the negative, or just a form of repetition. Again, we see that here. Christians are going to find themselves praying to God about many things. And one of the signs that we are saved is by God's answers to our prayers. And this test doesn't mean that He will always answer in the way that you asked, but rather the way in which is best for you. And I think that's really important to remember here on this test. Even though you may pray and you don't get the answer that you want, or you wanted it quicker, or you wanted it in a different way, that doesn't mean that God didn't answer your prayer. That just means He had something better in store for you. Or He said, let's wait on this, or let's go a different route on this. And He begins to take you on that journey. And again, that is going to play out by the circumstances and evidences in your life that will attribute to that type of answer. I'm not talking about any sort of audibles here. I want to just clarify that. So again, in verse 21, I'm going to read that again for us. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We kind of touched on that in our last lesson, but I want to just pick back up there. And it's in keeping with the theme of love, as we were talking about in the previous lesson. And this verse is telling us that if we love, and if we have love, then there is no reason to have self-condemnation, but rather we can have that full assurance of confidence before God. And so I just want you to think about that, because if you have love in your heart, that is going to prove that you are a Christian. And whenever you have that love, there's no reason for you to go around condemning yourself and wondering, am I in the faith? Am I not? That people are going to ask that, and that's good. We should be examining ourselves. But if we show this similar love that Christ showed for us, we can have a confidence in our salvation, as we've discussed in some of the previous tests. And I want to also point out that it's very similar to chapter 3, verse 1 that we did study early on. And so you can go back and review that and see that type of confidence we can have before God because of our profession in Christ. We can also be confident in our salvation and therefore go before Him with a clear conscience, and we can make our requests known to Him. When we go before Him with submission and a clear conscience, we pray in that manner and He then hears us. So that's really important to remember too, is going before Him with a repentant heart and having that clear conscience before you make your request known to God. You don't want to have anything hindering your prayers. You don't want to have anything causing a stumbling block where God wants to deal with that first in your life before we get on to the actual prayer request. So keep that in mind as you go through that.
In verse 23, it's going to go on to tell us that by believing in Christ, loving one another, and being obedient, we are of the faith. And let me just kind of read that verse again and touch on that. He says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, love one another, just as he commanded us. So right there, you see it. If we believe in him, if we love one another, and we are obedient to what he has commanded of us, we know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another test within a test in a sort. And so then, as we look at that, our salvation is thereby confirmed by the Holy Spirit if those things are present in our life. And we go back to this concept of answered prayer as being talked about right there in verse 22 and following off of verse 21 about the confidence we would have in Christ as we go to him and make our requests known. And the only way that you can keep his commandments, as verse 22 is telling us, is to belong to him. Therefore, he then answers prayers. It all goes together. And again, it's that circular style and theme of John's way of explaining things. And I've kind of been pointing that out. Again, this is another circular style of, if you have this, then this results. If you do this, this is going to be the result. And it goes in that circular pattern of an if-then sort of situation. So when we look at 1 John 5:13 through 15, we're going to get into more of that and how we should pray. I'm not really going to go into that more. If you want to look at that verse right now during our study as you get done with this, I want you to kind of focus in on that. I'm going to put that into the study notes so you can just be prepping yourself for what's ahead and how we should pray and in what manner. That's going to be dealt with. But this one here is just talking about answers to prayers. So we'll look at that concept. But I want you to also keep in mind that in Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So again, you have to come before him with a contrite, repentant heart and be removing out any of that sin that's in your life. That's why it's so important in your prayers to confess those before the Lord. Start out your prayers with thanksgiving to him and then go into a repentant style of praying and ask him to reveal those areas of sin in your life that you need to confess before you start going into all of your prayer requests. So we have to confess those things. And if we are a believer, but we see minimal responses to our prayers, we need to stop and look at our prayer life. Is it shallow? Is it infrequent? And is it just praying for the material and the superficial? That's real important. What type of prayers are you praying? Because you may be a Christian, but you just, you know, say, well, I'm not seeing a ton of answers to my prayers. Well, if you've passed all these other tests and you've examined yourself, but this one seems a little weak in your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a believer. It may just mean that you need to stop and look at your prayer life and how you're praying, how often you're praying. What are you praying about? What's your heart motive before you go to him in prayer? These are all going to tie in to this particular test. And so many of us, we treat God as like a divine butler in our prayers. Oh, Lord, give me peace. Oh, Lord, give me that. Oh, Lord, I don't feel good. Please help me. You know, there's nothing wrong with crying out to him, but it's how and what we're praying for. Are you just asking for this physical infirmity to go away right now? Is that your prayer? Or is it, Lord, please show me how to deal with this trial. Help me to bear up under this burden. Help me to access the peace and the wisdom and the comfort and the knowledge that you've already given me in the Holy Spirit in my life. Show me how to access those things and apply it to my life. Don't just be praying for things to be rid of in your life, because the Lord is using those in your life for your good. So there's something you're supposed to learn through it. Deepen up your prayers and deepen up your thoughts to the Lord and your spiritual walk and see what might be the reason that this trial is in your life. There's nothing wrong with making our request known to God. We are supposed to do that. But I just want to challenge you to sharpen up your prayers a little bit. Get a little theologically deep in your prayers. Read the Bible. Read the Psalms. Use those as a guideline to how you should pray and what you should pray for. That's really important. And, you know, maybe you just need to change the words in your prayer. As I've already mentioned before, maybe you just need to change the wording of it. And not so that you get the result that you want by the prayer that you're praying. No, you just want to pray in a way that would be that would not be contrary to his will. You want to be praying in accordance with the Lord's will. And if your desires are not matching up with the Lord's will, be praying for that as well. Be open and honest with him. He wants that. He desires that fellowship with you. So again, just look at the types of prayers that you're praying. Look at how often you're praying. And look and see if the types of things you're praying for are those that will matter for the eternity of others. Are you praying for others' salvation? Are you praying that others will be drawn to Christ and that he will use you in that way? He loves to hear those types of prayers because it is ultimately for his kingdom and for other people's eternal state. So we want to come before him with a humble and contrite heart and praying for the things that matter and praying for the things that, even the little things in our life, he cares about those too. And I'm not saying not to pray for those, but I'm just saying make sure that the way that you're praying for those is going to be honoring to him. And then wait and listen for that response in your life to see how it starts to play out. All of that is very, very important. And this is the test of a Christian that we are looking at. It's, do you experience answered prayers? So that's my challenge for you today. Do you need to maybe change up your prayer life and how you're praying? If you're not getting answers to your prayers in the way that you would like them, I want you to examine that. But if you are experiencing any type of answer to your prayers, whether it be good, bad, wait, whatever, maybe those aren't the responses that you are getting. If you're just getting silence, you might need to examine yourself. You might need to see if you truly are in the faith and see if there is wickedness in your heart to where the Lord will not hear. We want to make sure that we are in the faith and that our prayers are pleasing to the Lord. You can find this lesson under the Bible Studies tab on naomistable.com. Lesson 14, Test 10, Do You Experience Answered Prayers?
All right, Nancy, that was our lesson number 14, and boy, all the way up to test number 10, and these tests have been fantastic. Today, we're talking about prayer, and specifically, how do we pray, and how do we view how God answers us?
Yeah, and she talks about how one of the tests here is getting answers to prayers, but note, it's not always a yes answer. We have to understand that God is omniscient. He knows everything that ever was and ever will be, and he knows what's best for us and what's best for the kingdom in the long run, and that is his will.
Yeah, and remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed three times, please take this cup from me, and it was the cup of wrath, by the way, and that's what he was going to have to face, and then he said, but Lord, your will. Not mine, your will. And so we need to always keep in mind that we need to be praying in God's will, not our own. Of course, we can lift our petitions of prayer to him. And certainly when we're praying for other people, we want to pray in a way that God would say, yep, that's my will.
Yeah. And there are some always yes answers, I think, when you pray to God. One of them is when you pray for wisdom.
Yes.
James tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask for it. And God, who is good to give us so many things, he will give you that. Another one is if you pray one of those dangerous prayers like, God, please use me. He will. You may not like how he uses you, but he will. Another one is if you ask God for patience. He will help you with that, but you may not like how he helps you with that.
Yeah.
So there are lots of prayers you can pray that are going to be in his will all the time. Praying for salvation for people. It's something that we often are heartbroken about, because oftentimes we're praying for people that are close to us, sons, daughters, yeah, husbands, people that we love dearly.
And, Nancy, the hardest thing in the world is going before the Lord in tears and saying, it's my child, Lord, please bring them back to me. If you've got a prodigal son or daughter, the pain of that. We know what they face if they are not saved. And so those prayers, we know God hears us. We know He does. And yet we know that He's got a will, and we need to bend to that and place our children in His hands, in His care. He knows what He's doing. So need to trust Him. And sometimes the opposite of praying in my will is trusting God. And that's always an opposite. So, you know, trust and believing in Him, knowing that His will be done. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's, you know, we don't know sometimes the plans that He has that are right in front of us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we won't see them for months, years. Sometimes we might not ever see them this side of glory.
Yes, and that's the thing that I think we need to remember. Whenever we don't get something the way we wanted it, we need to remember that He knows what's best, and we need to trust Him. And like you said, those prayers for our lost children, the prodigals, the spouses, those are ones that we need to remember. Jesus told us we need to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as you mentioned, His will is always going to be done eventually. But in the meantime, we do live in a fallen world.
You know, Nancy, I loved how Lori brought us back to the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Those prayers, looking at how David prayed to the Lord. And we know that David had a heart over the Lord, you know, after the Lord's own heart. And I just love reflecting on those and the passion and the beauty of those. And I wish that my prayers looked more like that every day.
Oh, without a doubt. And she mentioned about if you're going through a trial or an illness, are you asking for the removal of it or the healing of it? Or are you asking for what He wants you to learn from it and asking for the strength to get through it? And it reminded me of that friend of ours, Robert, who said, "You know, I think I'm growing in Christ. Instead of praying for God to take these problems away from me, I'm praying for Him to keep me here until I learn what He wants me to learn from it."
And another thing, too, ladies, are we glorifying God with our prayers by asking Him to be glorified in that trial we're praying about? Well, Nancy, as we close out the program today, before we send everybody off for the weekend, we do have some scripture, and I know you found something there. What did you find?
Well, this is going to get us looking forward to a future time, and just to let you know that as long as we are here on this earth, we are still responsible to pray. And I'm going to go to, in Revelation chapter 8, this is when the seventh seal is broken. "So when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake."
Oh, wow. That is a future time. And ladies, what the Bible tells us to do is be prepared for His coming and look for those signs. All right. Well, we are sending you off into the weekend, but stick close to the Lord. Be with Him in His word and in prayer. Until Monday, we'll see you then. Have a blessed weekend in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.